Welcome back to the Talos of Tech podcast, ladies and gentlemen. I am once again joined with our original co-host. Let's start with Randy. How are you doing?
I am doing fantastic.
Good. Good to hear that. And Nick, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good myself. Nothing to complain about.
Awesome. That's a good place to be. So we have an event coming up. It's not confirmed, but it's kind of confirmed because we have so many different analysts reporting and we see a lot of things changing, like by the way, that trade-in program, that financing deal with the 10R Apple's doing, they extended it again, even though it was originally going to be a holiday thing. Pushed it back till January. They pushed it back till February. Now it extends till March 25th. And there's a ton of analysts right now that are saying there's going to be an event at March 25th, and that's when we're going to expect the new Apple Movies subscription service and the Apple News magazine service. And I wanted to know what your guys' thoughts on that. Do you think we're going to see hardware at this event, or is it going to be just services like so many people are saying right now? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, Randy? Hardware. Yeah, I think we'll see something. I think we will see the case. They'll just announce it. Like, they're not going to do a whole like segment like, oh, and here it is. But I think they'll be like,
exactly
way,
like that.
Let me rephrase. Like, even if it's just a website refresh and all that, they'll be like, boom, mm-hmm. you can now get it. Boom, now you can get Product Red. Boom, now you can get. I don't. Air Power, I don't believe is coming.
and I know
logically it doesn't make sense. If they give us the head casing for the AirPods, then obviously it's coming, but I'll believe it when I see it. So I'm skeptical about that. Bare minimum, we'll get the Product Red stuff and there'll be some type of special again, you know, like you're talking about the trade-in or anything to move inventory on the 10R. I don't think we're going to see iPads. I don't think we'll see. Wait. They did the student keynote in March last year, right?
Yes.
Correct. There's been new iPads at the last three March events and technically new iPhones. They're not brand new designs, but past three events have had iPhone in 2016. It was the SE in 2017. It was the Product Red 7. In 2018, it was the Product Red 8. So to me, it makes the most amount of sense that things would go according to tradition. Apple sales are notoriously known for not being that great this year. I think it makes the most amount of sense for them to. I mean, why would they break tradition with the releasing a new iPhone color mid-cycle? Like, we know that the sales are bad. We know that they're not doing very well. Of course, they're going to continue to do the same thing they've done the past 3 years. The past 3 years, we've also gotten budget. Well, not 2016, but the last 2 years we've gotten budget iPads. In 2016, we got the 9.7-inch iPad Pro. Mm-hmm. So I just think it's got to be business as usual. If they're holding an event at the Steve Jobs Theater, there's no way you could talk for an hour just about Apple subscription services. I don't believe those analysts at all who say that there's no hardware or anything.
Yeah, I think what that will be is more of a showcasing not just the subscription services, but then they'll like, oh, by the way, here is the casing, the casing for the AirPods, which means here's Air Power. Here is Product Red 10S Max, which will be beautiful. And then, and by the way, here is what the Mac Pro is going to look like.
Oh,
that'd be nice.
Mac Pro that early?
Well, here's what's going to look like later this year. I feel like it's a good way to get people going. Maybe even set the foundation. I was thinking about that. I was like, would it be WWDC? No, because WWDC is they'll focus more on the redesign of iOS 13 and all the U-Haul that's going to happen with it, or U-Haul, the overhaul of it. So I think we'll see an introduction to Mac Pro.
As much as I want that, I don't believe you. I think it's gonna. I think we'd be lucky to see it at WWDC because I'm imagining like an iMac Pro repeat. Like they unveil it and give you the starting price, and then they don't sell it until like 6 months or more later.
Yeah,
what
do you
been
think? Hurt pulling iMac Pro. Yeah, I don't know. I'm excited for this event. I think it'll be fun. I'm definitely probably most looking forward to the iPad Mini, seeing what they do to that. But but yeah, I don't know. Whatever they want to announce is fine with me. whatever they don't want to announce is probably better off, because AirPower and the Mac Pro back in the day, like, you know, they don't have a good history of getting things out on time when they show things too early.
Yeah, so, that's true.
You know, if
do you guys have thoughts on what the Apple News subscription service is going to be? Everyone keeps talking about it. I don't exactly know what it is, because we have Apple News, and that's free, obviously. That comes with iOS. And I use it occasionally, and it's fine. I don't really have any complaints with it, but my question is, what exactly, as a youngin, as many would refer to me, as a kidster, we don't have a ton of, what's it called?
Magazines, like, subscriptions?
We newspapers. Don't subscribe, yeah, to magazines and stuff. We don't, like, when I was little, we never did that, because the news, it's like, for me, most of my news comes from Twitter, to be honest. And I'll occasionally use Apple News. So what's the purpose, and what would be the price range for an Apple certified subscription service? What would be the need for it?
Back in the day, people would pay a fee for newspapers. It would be free to have it delivered. It's gross, I know. Back in they would pay either monthly or it's quarterly. A subscription, and they would have newspapers delivered every single day.
Okay.
That changed once the internet, like, there was no need. It was literally, you know, no need. We didn't need that. And they acknowledged that. I don't know if, like, the more, like, Time Magazine, Forbes, if they have exclusive whatevers that would prompt them to, like, no, but we have to pay for this, because now in that mentality, we have YouTube, we have, like, just breaking news, like, some people, if there's a way to get out there for free, they'll get out there for free and just put ads. So my thing is, like, what are they just gonna take away ads? We don't care. And and I don't think they care. So really,
where are there that many ads in Apple
News? No. I don't think there's, I don't know enough to tell you that. I don't really use it. I use it, I do the one thing you're not supposed to do. I have my iMac give me a prompt on my top right corner when there's a headline. Like, I just read the headline.
Oh, sure.
Same.
I do the thing I'm not supposed to do. Just judge the whole article based off the headline. Like, President Trump is giving State of the Union addresses these things. And I'm like, oh, that's all I need to know, because I'm not going to watch 2 hours of the State of Union. I will just read, oh, okay. Oh, shutdown is not happening. Oh, okay. You know, like, stuff like that. Or it's like, or here's one that came up on the news. It's funny, ironic, and I like it. Apple News gives me Apple leaks.
That's funny.
Apple, Tim Cook is slated to talk at Steve Jobs Theater in March. I'm like, huh, I'm surprised Apple would want to leak that. You know, if there's no formal announcement just yet. So I don't know what they could do with it, and because of that, I don't know what they would charge for it. But what I do think with the subscription thing is that they will do an Amazon style, where it's going to be all encompassing music, news, videos. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to give us everything.
Oh, okay.
You know, I would even say maybe I can see why I wouldn't, but I would even like to be like, oh, and you get this amount of iCloud storage. Like, start to bundle your services so that way the more you add on to it, the cheaper it is, instead of having it fragmented like that. That's what I feel like the subscription thing is going to be.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
Your turn, Nick.
As far as what I think the Apple News subscription service would be, I kind of have I know they bought that magazine online thing. What was that called? To something with a T, right?
I thought it started with an S. Yeah, I know what you're talking about, though.
Yeah. Whatever that subscription thing they bought a while back was.
It doesn't curate original content, though.
It's just a bunch of other magazines. Yeah. And I know everyone's talked about this as, like, a reading subscription, like curating written news. But I think that they have a place to do live TV.
Interesting.
If you think about, I sat on an airplane ride for about 3 or 4 hours next to an executive of Charter Spectrum. And I talked to her for the whole flight. I'm sure she was like, oh my gosh, this chatty Kathy, I never talk to people on flights. I was just, you know, pretend they don't exist as we're touching each other.
Poor her.
But, like, I was picking her brain about so many things. And I think that one of the big problems that the big cable providers are having is that things are getting so democratized. Like, instead of having to buy a $300 package with all of the channels on it, we can now go to Hulu and, you know, all these different apps and subscribe to things. But the one key feature that keeps people subscribing to those cable channels is local cable news, right?
Sure.
Your five CNBC five or, you know, whatever, like your local news station. They're very integral to that community because it's a lot of work for, say, an app to go through to every single local news station and make a deal with them and get them to join an online service, because a lot of those places don't even want it to do an online service. They're fine with how it is. But I think that's one of the reasons why people still subscribe to cable, to get that news service, that live TV. And even if it's just national, even if Apple's only able to pull off the big national TV, like, you know, CNN or Fox or, you know, MSNBC or the big ones, I think that that would still be a very beneficial, you know, value added to the Apple ecosystem. That would allow the Apple TV to become more of a, you know, live TV box instead of just a streaming box. And I do think a lot of people get their news on the TV, whether it's, you know, left or right or whatever. I think that Apple will
cutting
make
the cord.
Yeah, lots of deals to get people more cord cutted. You're right.
Okay, that's interesting. I didn't think of it with the live TV stuff. But if they're launching their TV and movies subscription service alongside it, I think that makes a lot more sense. I think you could be onto something there. I could see that happening. I almost see it more as, like you were saying, Randy, the bundling is almost more of the purpose than it is. It's more of to incentivize people sometimes. Like my thought process was, how many people are actually going to like go out of their way to pay for this news service? Maybe not that many, but if you're part of the iPhone upgrade program, we'll throw it in and you get it included. And that just keeps more and more people into that monthly model of like, oh, so I save money if I go with the iPhone upgrade program. That way Apple can say you're getting Apple movies, Apple music, and Apple news all bundled together with your iPhone upgrade, which is worth $70 a month, and we're giving it to you for the low price of $40 a month. So you're saving so much
money. But wait, act now and we'll double your iCloud storage.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
I think
keeping
we,
people in that subscription model, and this will help with that.
Right. I overall, like, I think the point of talking about the new subscription reorganization of like making that an actual subscription is just so they can cover the overall subscription service that like, oh, here's why news is going to be in there. I don't think it's going to be completely focused on just you know, curated news that's tailored to your interests the same way you set up playlists on Apple Music. It's just like they'll say like, here's what you can do with it, and here's how we'll promote new things to it that based off of your interests, and the algorithm will do its thing and blah 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 blah. But the bigger real picture is that like you can get that, and it's going to go on top of this that, and it's just something that like we haven't really seen anything from the news app since 2016 or 15 or whenever it had that big redesign. So since then, I mean, it's just them putting attention on. It's like, oh, by the way, this still exists, and this is just one more thing. But one more thing that you can get on top of the overall Apple subscription that comes with it all. I could understand live TV, but the problem that I see with live TV is that people don't, because I'm one of those people. People won't pay for a subscription for live TV if I still have to watch commercials.
That is
so kind of a holdup.
That's why. Yeah. That's why I don't know if that's a good idea. I don't know if they would do that. I just don't agree with it, because if I'm paying for it, I have now been, you know, reprogrammed in my head that if I'm paying for it, I expect no ads.
That's the more recent decade we've gotten used to.
Hey, that's their fault. Like,
if you buy the mid-range Hulu plan, you get limited ads.
Right.
And they were doing some kind of promotional deal last year. I think it was like New Year's Eve, where they were like, okay, for the next 12 hours, if you sign up for the limited ads Hulu subscription. It's literally $1 a month for like 6 months. It was some insane deal, and it's normally like $6 or something like that. I don't know.
I do remember. Yeah. You're right. Yep. That's what
we saw that. We saw that deal and we were like, holy crap, $1 a month? Like, that's basically $6 over the course of half a year to get Hulu, and there's just limited ads. And we signed up for it, we subscribed, and then we watched about 2 ad breaks and went, nope, we're not doing this. We immediately upgraded to the ad-free version, which I think is like $12 a month. But we were like, I don't care. Get rid of these ads. It's not worth messing with.
We'll pay more.
I get that.
We will pay more for uninterrupted, you know, when you just want something, whether you're sitting down watching TV or you want something in the background. I don't want to hear like, he's about to go through the door, and then, do you ever struggle with losing weight? And then, like, I don't want to see that.
Buy our lotion. It's the best.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just,
you would not like you would not like YouTube TV then, because that's basically what it is.
No, YouTube just doesn't stop trying to there give any me abs on 3 months free, and I don't care. Like, I keep dismissing. I don't care.
Yeah, I did that. I did that once. One of my like whenever the World Cup was happening, that was the only way I could figure out how to stream it. And I did that free trial for 7 days or whatever it was, and
Yeah,
it was fine. I didn't have any complaints about YouTube TV. It was just $40 a month, and I didn't want to pay $40 a month.
Yeah, well, I had a friend subscribe to it, and then they said that there were commercial breaks, just like cable TV.
Yeah, maybe.
And I was like, oh, that would tick me off, paying $40 a month, and there's still commercials.
Maybe they just it's not original content or whatever. They're just streaming it from another cable provider. So whatever
I will pay premium price for HBO just to watch Game of Thrones. I will do that, and then I will cancel my subscription. And that's that. I'm like, what I will pay consistently is Netflix and Hulu. Netflix now more for its original content, because I do thoroughly enjoy a lot of their original content, and Hulu for pretty much anything and everything else. But you know, I actually got rid of my Hulu subscription altogether, just because I caught myself like, I'm paying $12 a month, and Brittany and I were just kind of like, you know, we're you know, every now and then we sit down, we just kind of go over, you know, our budget and just see what where we can cut the fat off of some things, and we're like, you know, $6 per person a month. Are you getting your $6 worth? That's how we like to look at things. And she goes, you know, I do that to watch, like, she likes watching the cooking shows and all that stuff. But Netflix has that stuff. And really, she just likes to watch it just for the sake of, like, ooh, that looks nice. And she and we found out that Netflix has all that stuff. So she's like, we're getting it for free on Netflix. Oh, I forgot to say, we're using her mom's account. So we're not paying for it. So we're sitting there and we're thinking, like, okay.
Savings.
But Netflix knows that's what people do, and that's why it keeps it's a high retention. Like, they'd rather get some money than no money by locking it. So you look at
they
it.
They wrote
like,
it into they've written it into their own TV shows.
Yeah. It's funny.
Me
it's
and Louise
hilarious.
Were watching this is a little off topic, but there was a show called Big Mouth where they started referencing Netflix on the show.
Yeah.
And there was this friend of the main character that was like, oh, I don't really have Netflix. He's like, what? What are you talking about? And then he just kind of looks at the camera and says, it's got an incredible library of content that would take hours and years to actually watch. And it's all for only a low price of $8.99 a month. And then he looks back to her and he goes, or I could just give you my password and you can access my... And then it cuts to a screen that says, scene redacted.
That's like funny.
It's like, and then it keeps moving. And I was like, hey, they had to watch that. To approve it. And they were fine.
Some executives saw it, and because they know, like, listen, they know, like, and they're okay with it because they overall, it's would you rather make some money off of it, or would you start to alienate? You don't know how much people you lose if you start doing that, and then they will be there'll be an open market, and right when Disney launches their app of it, it's not going to be a good look. I saw this. I think we talked about it before, but like I saw this org chart of what Disney actually owns. Goodness, I did not know National Geographic. I did not know Discovery. Like they have so much. I forget they own Fox, but they own ABC. So let the, you know, get your tinfoil hats. It's like, oh, they got both sides. Because it's a business.
They've got everything.
They got everything. Disney,
Disney, you can count on one hand what Disney doesn't own.
That's true.
I'm pretty sure.
Taylosive.
Oh, wait, well, Drew didn't tell you?
Bring this up now.
Oh, yeah, we were talking
about
it. We've been
bought by Disney. Yeah. Disney buys Nintendo.
Hey, so technically Disney... Wait, is Discovery owned by Disney? Or was it just National Geographic? I don't remember. Anyway.
Wouldn't surprise me.
If it was Discovery, then at one point Philip DeFranco was owned by Disney as well because he fell under Discovery. God. So
that is trippy.
They got their hands in everything. So once they launch their app, forget it. Yeah. Like, they are going to be a very high contender.
I would buy it. I'll buy especially Apple's, but also Disney's subscription service. Like, no matter what it is, like, you know, whatever Apple comes out, I'll happily try out and give it a shot for a couple months and see if I like it. But for sure, Disney. Like, if they have,
you like Disney, Nick?
I like a lot of their franchises.
Okay.
Like Toy Story. I'm sure Toy Story would be on there. And like these classics that like I enjoyed watching growing up, but like I haven't bought on iTunes yet. And we've already talked about my iTunes library.
It's to
like
fill up your storage.
130 things that I have never watched. So, you know.
You're like on Apple customer service. Like, do you have any idea how large a file Toy Story 4 is going to be? Like...
Yeah.
You have to be ready for that. For me, it's the big ones are Star Wars and Marvel.
Yeah, those went without saying. Yeah,
Disney owns both of those, and basically, I never buy Blu-rays. I never buy even digital anymore. Like, I never purchase movies, but if getting the Disney subscription means that all those movies will be available right after the theater, or maybe someday they'll start airing them on the streaming
Just like premiere it?
You got to imagine.
Just like YouTube
Disney's
premiere.
Making, yeah.
Ooh.
Or you got to know, like, Disney's has to be working on original content. If freaking Apple is working on original content just for their subscription service.
Yep.
Yeah, I think the mouse is too. But right now there's a ton of movies and stuff. Is that your Mickey impression?
Wait. Oh boy. You will
buy the Mickey Mouse watch face to work on my Apple Watch.
The time is,
and like tap it and get her to
9:57.
Right. I didn't even think about it, Drew. Oh my goodness! Wait! Oh, whoa! I'm awake. My mind just woke up because Disney with Pixar with Steve Jobs with Apple. You bet your bologna sandwich that they are going to announce. They're going to announce it at WWDC, and we're going to be able to be like, ooh, and with the Apple TV, you get also, for a limited time, the Disney app, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah. That would be cool.
It's going to happen. That's so cool.
Oh, this is wonderful.
Maybe Apple's and Disney's streaming service is not actually two separate things.
Can you imagine?
It's all just one thing.
That would be
a Netflix
cool.
Illuminati confirmed.
That would
put Netflix in trouble.
That would be great though.
I think I would pay like maybe up to like $70 a month for every single Disney movie, every single Disney movie ever created. A bunch of like original stuff.
No,
really? I don't know.
For streaming?
Yeah.
Hang on. $70 for what? So you can see something that you'd be able to stream anyway, or
that's like four. That's like four iTunes movies a month.
Well, you have to.
But you buy those. Streaming is always a lower cost.
I don't think it will be cheap. You guys are thinking like $20, but it's not going to be under 40.
Really?
I don't think so.
I disagree with you wholeheartedly.
We're
talking about $10.
Yeah, Disney. Disney streaming service.
Well,
Disney was...
Go ahead.
I thought Disney was going to try to be as competitive as they could with Netflix. If they were, like, completely outpricing Netflix, I don't think it would work.
That's not gonna happen.
Yeah, but think about the Disney brand. Like, they're the kind of people to stick movies in a vault for 50 years so that they can make more money on them later.
But nobody cares about that. the thing is, nobody cares about that. What they care about is, what can I get for my money? And if you tell me, you know how Drew doesn't like Nintendo, and he acknowledges that, but people go like, oh, what? But he's just like, you know, he understands that, oh, look, exclusives, but there's more. They capitalize on nostalgic thoughts and feelings and all that stuff. But ultimately, it's just, it's another game. It's another console. And if you try to outprice that, people don't care. If you're Disney wants to get a new audience in, and their vault, yes, it's captivating from people who have that memory and remember seeing all these things a long time ago, the unedited, the whatever, whatever. Mm-hmm. Cool. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, Disney's coming into the streaming service late, like really late. Netflix is borderline a monopoly on this. Hulu took their strategy a little bit differently with doing more like business deals, and they have this agreement with like actual networks that would put them out and then get them out like a week later. So that's more their content than really more original, even though they have original. But Netflix is completely like, no, this is the place of every category, of every subject, of every genre. Mm-hmm. And then you got Disney coming in with their empire. And yes, they have
got
an empire,
a lot of nostalgia.
Mm-hmm.
But you got nothing to offer me. Why should I care about your nostalgia? Like, okay, cool. Some sleeping girl who gets woken up by a prince. Ooh, yeah, I'm great. Like, no, I like they will push heavily on Star Wars. They will push heavily on Marvel, as they should, because they understand that's where it's at today, not so much like the cartoons. They'll push heavily on Pixar, especially with the new Toy Story 4. I can see all the things that they're going to do, but none of that will matter if you're going to say, and you can come at the low, low price of $40. Get out of here. I will go back to Pirate Bay. Demon. I don't care. And it's not a good look. You'll get maybe a fraction of what you think you would get, and people will stay on Netflix and Hulu because they're not over. I'd be surprised if they get near 20. I can see why they would do 20, maybe, but not really. I'd see like 15. They'll price themselves the same way Hulu and Netflix are, because it's what's competitive and it's the best way to start growing your market share. Not to keep it, you need to grow it first. There's no way you can grow it by coming in at such a premium price. At the end of the day, they're not Apple, and Apple themselves are not being Apple, because now they're doing, you know, $440 for an iPhone XR. Like, that's not the market anymore. It's not about growing. It's about keeping. So, yeah.
So... I just pulled up Disney's Wikipedia page, and I'm scrolling through all of the businesses that they own, and I don't think I'll be able to finish scrolling for like another 3 or 4 minutes. If they made all of that content available through their app, I would gladly pay, I think $70 is the highest I'd pay.
Dude,
because, man, okay, they have, I would not. Okay, big ones that they own, right?
Disney, you better Animation give me your Studios. Login account.
I will. We can be on a family plan.
It's going to be like $200 a month. You have to compare it to what the price would be if you would have just rented all this stuff for $4.
Okay, but like, okay, let me just go down a quick list of the highlights here. I'm just going to scroll through, and whatever catches my eye, I'm going to say it.
Like the big ones, yeah.
Walt Disney Animation Studios, Pixar Animation Studios, ILM, Lucasfilm Animation, blah, 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 Skywalker Sound. Marvel Productions, Disney Motion Pictures, Disney.
Where are you going with this though? What are you trying?
There
what
are you, so are like okay. So that's just the Disney. Okay, now we're out of Disney. They have A&E Networks, Crime and Investigation Network, History Channel, Military History, History in Spanish, H2.
I think the real question though is, will they put everything they own on the streaming service, or are they just going to do selected content?
ESPN, guys. You get all your live sports there. ESPN Now.
They own a ton, but will everything be on the streaming service? I don't think I would believe it if you told me every single thing they own will be on one service. While they do own a lot, I think they're just going to stream the popular stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
That way they can keep the price somewhat reasonable.
Yeah, I agree. And also because there's some things just don't hold the same weight as others.
Yeah.
People will go to Disney 100% for Star Wars and Marvel. that's just the fact. It doesn't matter how you feel about it, right? Like, that's just, that is what the data shows you, and for good reason. People don't really, might not pay too much mind of, here's why you said ESPN, like, it was a big, like, guys, ESPN, but you also have Fox with their sport. Like, I remember almost every year I'd watch the Super Bowl on the Fox app for on Apple TV because they were hosting it. So, I mean, they're not the only, they weren't the only players at the time. Now, granted, yes, I know they own Fox, but what I'm saying is that, like, every, there's more than one network that will do news because ESPN is just one network of it. But the sports itself, you know, they got to make money too. So the more people who buy into it, like, it's there's a very big, heavy, you know, business model for these networks and what they're putting out. I don't see Disney finding relevance giving us, say, FX. As an example, I don't know what's on FX, but FX is owned by Fox, which is owned by Disney. And FX is like, I can't tell you a notable great show that I saw on there. When I think of AMC, I think of Walking Dead and Breaking Bad. And like, okay, those were good. I don't think AMC is owned by Disney. And if that's the case, I would keep Netflix just for my Breaking Bad, right, and The Walking Dead. And so you have to see what's, like, popular in today's trends. They're not going to put all the stuff on the Disney app because there's no real incentive. They're just like the whole vote thing. Nobody's going to care about, like, oh, but this thing's been locked away for 50 years. Mm-hmm. Cool. Whatever. I'm sure the drawings suck anyway. Like, I could see people thinking like that. Like, this, like, whatever. All they care about is, like, I just want to see how Episode 9 goes in Star Wars. I want to see how the Avengers ends. Like, that's what their mind is at. That's all they care about.
So, real quick, I guess I didn't make that clear. I don't think it will be $70. I'm just preparing myself for it to be super expensive. You know, well, like, I would be more than happy to have it be $20 or $2. Like, sure. But, like, anything past 70 is what I mean. I wouldn't buy anything past 70.
No, I don't think anyone on Earth would do that. But I want just Apple Original News Service hosted by Tim Cook, who just sits in front of a desk all
this
day.
This just in. Apple has the news. Apple leaks a he's reading the headlines.
They have a full-on, like, Mac fancy studio that zooms in on Tim, and he's just like, good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome good to morning. Apple News Live, sponsored by Beats One Radio.
No, if they don't use Johnny Ive's voice for anything, I would be highly disappointed because I read the phone book to me. I don't care. Just let me.
Johnny Ive's news service would just be a big white room with him sitting on a stool. talking into the camera, you and he's know, like,
"Revolutionary." So,
Vox is copyright striking YouTube channels. That would be the news.
That's it,
and I would love it.
he'll just. What if he just comes in and he just uses fancy words? What we
do?
Have
you think
here?
Johnny Ive uses any third party apps?
No,
or does he just? No. He like every app is the stock app. When you turn on your iPhone, he leaves everything in the exact same place. Like, the wallpaper stays the same. All of the apps stay in the same place.
The wallpaper's probably white.
He never downloads anything.
He deletes, actually. He'll delete even more because he's that minimal.
Just a blank thing. Like, phone settings and app store.
Right.
It's all
he lives in he lives in a box underneath the Apple spaceship.
His wallpaper is pure white.
Yeah,
his OLED phone is just white.
You're right. He gets the white phone every year.
He got out nail polish and painted the bezels white.
Oh God! Oh no!
Do you think people at the campus, or let me rephrase, the design department, because I know that they prototype a lot of things. Do you think they hold on to certain phones that only they have, like they've designed for them? Like Johnny Ives has the complete bezel-less phone, because we've seen Tim Cook every now and then maybe break out his phone or his watch, and he was trying out the Series 3 before we knew what that red dot was for it. So we've seen Tim Cook. I mean, we've seen Tim Cook do that, but I would think Johnny Ive has designed his perfect phone, and he's had it for years, and now he's just trying to find a way to reduce costs and get. I want to see these phones. I know they have it, and it's only like
they used one in an Apple commercial. Do you guys know which one I'm talking about?
Oh, the white one? I remember what you're talking about. With the...
Yes.
It was
didn't
James...
you talk about it?
Yeah. I don't think I made a video on it, but James Corden was in an Apple Music ad.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the chairmen at Apple, like the actual chairman of Apple, were in the commercial. And they were holding up their iPhone in one of the stills, and it was not a 6 or a 7. It was something in between. And I remember stills of it. I'm going to pull it up here. I know the audio listeners can't see it, but you guys could probably look this up if you look up James Corden Apple Music ad. I'll see if they hold up the iPhone, because I remember it and thinking, wait, that's not a 6 or a 7. What is that? I just remember being confused. You could probably Google it even. There's probably a lot of people who have worked on it.
I went to Google and I typed in James Corden Apple Music ad iPhone leak. And
I don't think it was even a leak. It was just some kind of weird
clickbait, you know, right? Like it's going to be clickbait. Yeah, yeah. Articles would take that for clickbait. No, never mind.
Is this the next iPhone?
Never mind. It's not that thing. Give me what I thought I was going to see.
I'm surprised they used it in the commercial. Like, no one stopped them. Maybe the people developing the commercial weren't that smart, and they just thought that was a normal iPhone.
Oh, is it this one? I'm going to send you guys a photo.
He's sending everyone who listens to this podcast a picture. Open up your messages app. It will be Randy.
So it's the video is called the all-new Apple Music. If you go to time code, it's kind of right in the middle. It's like 105. There's my text. Thank you. Okay, 109. He holds up an iPhone with the camera placement like an iPhone 6, but there's like no cellular bands on it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
that's weird. I mean, it's that's hot.
Right. It's some kind of middle version of the phone or something.
Well, I'm going to post this on Twitter, guys. So follow at Talos of Cast. Plug, 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 plug.
Yeah, follow us on Twitter, people.
It will be there.
Plug, 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 plug.
Interesting. That's the only one
I've seen, like, publicly shown, like, I don't know if the commercial knew about it or if Apple noticed it, but maybe they just assumed, oh, no one will notice that. Yeah. That's clearly an iPhone. But us techies, we see that and go, what?
What's that?
Hold on a second. That's not a 7. That's not a 6. It has the cellular bands of a 7.
But a camera 6. Of a 6.
Like, with them being in the sides and stuff, like they don't go across the back like an iPhone 6 does. But the camera placement is where a 6 would be, and it just kind of looked off, and I remember seeing it in an ad going, wait a minute.
That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I was very confused.
I remember seeing it and then dismissing it because I'm like, it's probably, I've just seen things. But
it's a prop.
I thought we talked about that. It might have been offline. Maybe you never made a video, but I remember having a conversation with somebody about that because I was like, oh, that's interesting. And now today... And you know, here's what makes me mad about that. It looks like there's not a bump. Like, they don't have a camera bump. That's why I'm mad.
They figured out how to remove the bump.
I want a no bump. That's it. Honestly, I can tolerate everything else, but I just don't want a camera bump. It's not.
Why don't you guys like it? I don't mind it. Like,
it's just the phone rocks on the table.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. Ignore that.
Ignore that.
No. You're holding it wrong.
You're holding it wrong. No.
That's good advice. Just ignore it.
Just ignore it.
No simple.
It's like the notch. We all just kind of get used to it.
Get used to it. I can tolerate the notch for what it is because it that's not a deal breaker. But aesthetically, just look at that thing. It's swollen. It's just...
It's swollen.
Oh
my God! I can't believe we haven't talked about you switching to tennis.
I know. Yeah,
yet.
That's the next topic.
We haven't made a public announcement about that. Yeah, you're right.
So the last podcast you were talking about it, and
that's right.
Now it's happened. So how has that gone, Randy?
Oh, I missed my 10R, and
no.
Wait. Okay. 10S. Love. OLED. I am so glad I got my inky blacks back. It's so blacks back. Wait, Inky Black's back. There we go. I twisted on myself. But
I want my backpack back. That's a hard one to say.
I want my backpack back. Whoa.
Wow.
I want my backpack back. Anyway.
I want my black backpack back. It just gets worse.
Sally sold seashells by the seashore.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wait. I got one more. I'm going to do this one really quick. Peter Piper picked a pack of pickled peppers. And Peter Piper picked a pack of pickled peppers. Where's the pack of pickled peppers? The Peter Piper pick. Boom. World record. Done.
Wow.
Okay. I missed.
You hear to hear first, folks.
Yep. This is what the people pay for. Not what, this is what they come for.
Yeah, they're definitely now, paying. You have to pay 99 10S. Cents before you can watch or listen to our podcast.
Right, right.
Plug. That's our premium podcast. Oh, that's another one. Premium podcast. There we go. I'm done.
We give them a non-like volume boosted podcast for $10 a month.
Premium podcast. Give it,
like, regular audio, not like completely distorted.
This is the cheap podcast. You can get this for free anywhere.
Oh, by the way, for the podcast listeners with this mic, like ASMR. How you guys doing? Okay. I love the phone. I'm glad I have it. But
okay. But
the battery life is terrible.
Oh.
It's bad. And not in the sense that like it sucks, because it's actually where it should be. It's just I didn't realize how spoiled I was with the 10R. That's what it is. Just the 10R.
You did
battery.
Go from yeah. best battery in an iPhone. So everything will be a downgrade.
I noticed it, like, as I do one single thing, I'm watching the bar of my battery just drain. And I'm like, no, it makes me so, like, end of the day, which is really not that bad for me, but end of the day, I would be like maybe at 40 or 35%. When with the 10R, I'd come home and I'm at 70 to 65%.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just like, I notice it and it bugs me. Two, I will always say this because I truly believe it. My phone's over there still, but, the 10R's display is the perfect. It's the best size for me with my hands.
6.1.
It's the perfect. If you could give me OLED that, oh yeah, give me that.
That
please,
would be nice.
Because I think it's perfect. And I know that the 10R is a little bit bulkier in the sense of like with its borders, its bezels, and so I can see. Now I look at it, and I was like, oh, it's like I'm holding a cased iPhone, like a permanently cased iPhone. But that being said. Right. The screen itself, not even how it fits in hand, just the screen. I look at it like, if to me, it's perfect. So I got a smaller display, and I'm like, eh, it's nice, but I think the other one was better. Better battery from the 10R, and I also miss the color accuracy because I can see it right. It's
really?
So noticeable. It's so noticeable to me. I miss.
That's interesting.
I miss the when I here's try this, Drew, when you get some time. Wait, Nick, do you have a 10R? No, you don't have a 10R, do you?
Nope, I have a 10S Max, sir.
Okay, so when you get some time, go to. Do you use Twitter in the dark blue, the dark mode, or do you use Twitter as the white background?
Dark mode, always dark mode.
Not you, Nick. You don't have a 10R. It doesn't matter.
I use it in dark mode as well.
Okay, open up dark mode. Open up Twitter for both 10R and your 10S Max side by side, and just notice the different tint. And it bugs me because I notice, I see it, and I'm like, it's not a deal breaker, but like I can. It's OLED is just it has a different tint, but it has better angles. So when I take my phone, I go like this.
Right.
It's still holding it. I'm like, all right, there's the trade off, and I like the OLED for what it is. But the color accuracy, they said the 10R has the best color accuracy, and I see what they mean by that. When I take photos, I look at photos, I'm like, ooh, yeah, okay, I get it. But all that said, I love my, I love the 10S. It's great. I'm just glad I have OLED. I just really would like to have you get to choose how you want your bokeh. Do you want it on the telephoto, or do you want it on the wide angle? Because that's just... Mm-hmm. That's a software thing. Apple, come on.
They could easily add that, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you just bokeh my child?
Oh, my gosh. That is the weirdest ad ever. Yeah, I have
you didn't like that one, Nick?
Legitimate gripes about that advertisement.
Really?
Normally,
okay.
Normally, Apple's ads are always very positive. Like, that's kind of the...
Yes.
Okay, so backing up. Everyone who hasn't seen it yet, It's an Apple ad that they just announced. It was on YouTube.
Go subscribe to the YouTube channel.
Yeah. basically, it's a couple moms sitting at a table, and they're showing each other pictures of, like, their kids playing together. Like, they're all separate moms who have, like, separate kids. And one of the pictures is a portrait mode picture of one of the mom's kids who's showing the picture. Mm-hmm. And then the other mom's kid is in the background, but is blurred out because it's in bokeh, like it's in portrait mode. And so the idea of the ad, I get the idea of the ad to show that you can unblur things and you can adjust the blur, you can adjust the amount of blur, but it just comes off as cringy. One of the moms, she gets totally offended that that her kid is in the blur of a picture. She's like, you bokeh'd my kid. How dare you bokeh my kid? I never bokeh your kid. And it's just comes off as weird. Like, I don't know who approved that one, but like Apple's ads are always like positive. Like, you know, they're either like really catchy, groovy, like, you know, the 10R ad, but like, or they're just like positive ads that like don't like all of the holiday ads where like, you know, they don't say it's from Apple until like just the last logo is Apple. You know, like, those are the best Apple ads. But I don't know. I didn't get that one. I hated it. I posted it on Twitter.
I would have tweaked it a little bit if I was in charge of that ad. It would have instead been the mother showing the other mother the picture of her kid. She goes, "That looks really nice, but why did you blur my child?" And she's like, "No, I can unblur it." And then the other mom pulls out a Note 7 and then it explodes. And then it just cuts to the Apple logo.
that would be a good that would be a good ad. I paused when you said that. I processed what you just said, and I'm just like, I was visualizing it, and I'm just like, oh no. Just a big old
that's hot.
Oh my goodness. Oh Drew, I forgot to tell you one thing. Because then I'm going to ask you, I want to know how you've liking the 10R so far.
Yeah, I'm still on the 10R.
I missed so much, and it hurts me, but I get it. I miss 3D Touch so much.
Oh, yeah.
It is the greatest. Because the thing is, I've always used it, and I use it for little things, and I use the peekaboo thing, and I use it for certain apps. I like little peekaboo.
We usually call it peek and pop, but I'm fine with
it's peekaboo. I've always called it peekaboo. I told you guys this. Yeah. This is what me and Brittany call it. We call it peekaboo.
This is fine.
But I have certain apps that actually it doesn't hurt you for not having it, but it makes the experience so much better for having it with one of my banking apps. And I'm like, oh, it's so convenient. I love it. And it doesn't just do it justice by it just being on as a widget on the widget page. Like it gives you functions for 3D touching it. And I'm like, yes, I get notified when I make a charge, and I will always get a prompt. And it's like an added security layer. One to say that this a charge has been done on your card, which I love. Mm-hmm. But then if you peekaboo, if you 3D touch it, you get to actually, if you know, like, oh no, yeah, I made a charge, you get to categorize that charge to a certain expense tab that you would have to just kind of it's a tracking metrics to see certain spendings. And I love using that because it gives me for me applicable data. Let me just say it like this. This is how I realized I was spending too much on entertainment, i.e. Hulu. When I was looking at the end, I was like, oh, you know what? I think I can cut costs here and there. And I went down to iCloud 500 gigs. No, 200 gigs instead of a terabyte. Because I was like, I'm spending too much. I want to cut things down. So it helped me. And 3D Touch, in the grand scheme of things, was like useful. Plus, sometimes.
Right. It's so fast, too, and efficient.
This control. I was just about to say the control center. I can't believe I catch myself now on the 10S holding down Wi-Fi where it sits just to activate it, and it doesn't do anything, but then I press it and it comes up, and I'm like, yes, God, I missed you. But with that being said, I like the texture of the 10R's display more because it feels sturdy.
The texture. Interesting. Yeah.
Push down on your 10R and then push down on your 10S Max, and you will you can feel how the display feels flimsy because of the technology, but I like how firm the 10R is, but I don't care if I can't have 3D touch. I love
guess
it
I need
so
to go
much.
Buy
things
a 10R
you pick
now.
Up on are impressive.
Yeah. Your turn. I've been thinking about this. So how do you give me a week review? How do you feel about your 10R?
Yeah, I like it. Definitely not having 3D touch before was helpful in the transition, because switching to the 10R, I don't feel like I'm losing that because I didn't have it in the first place. But there have been several instances where I'm like angry that there's no telephoto, because I'll go to take a picture and I'm used to having that and it's not there. Mm-hmm. Or a lot of the time I want to take a portrait mode shot and then I'm reminded, oh, that doesn't work unless it's a person. I forgot. Like, I keep forgetting that feature. So that's a little distracting. I kind of get what you mean about the feel, the grip of it. Like, aluminum is a bit more grippy than stainless steel. I notice it when holding it, because I use my phone without a case. Most of the time, my XS was without a case. Anytime, though, I pick up my XS Max again for something at the office, I try to not use it very long because I get used to the bezels and I get used to the size of the display and start going, oh yeah, that's nicer. I like that. And I see it very quickly. So then I'm like, okay, put that down. Don't look at that. Because like I said in my video about the switching to the 10R, I'm trying to train my eyes to be more accustomed to what most consumers are used to. That's my goal, because I think as YouTubers, a lot of us are always buying the best of the best of the best, which means that when something new comes out, we don't really appreciate it in the same way that everyone else does, because everyone else upgrades every 3 to 4 years, whereas we're upgrading every 2 seconds. So my hope is to use something that's a bit more what people are used to. That way, when I do get the iPhone 11 or whatever the next smartphone is, I notice the improvements and go, whoa, this is futuristic, this is cool, and I can be kind of excited for it. But once again, I still have zero complaints with the pixel density on the 10R, and that makes me kind of hope that Apple doesn't listen to all of the complaints the 10R got for the pixel density.
Yeah,
I really hope that those worries, because they've been fairly active with YouTubers and online and looking at what people are complaining about. And I know that people at Apple probably saw those complaints and saw everyone concerned. They were even asking, I think it was Phil Schiller in an interview, like, why is the 10R pixel density so low? Why are you doing this? And he had to answer them. He was like, well, at a certain point, you can get all uppity about the numbers and you can get all focused on the detail, but at the end of the day, how a display looks comes down to just, does it look good? And that initial impression, we decided that like that pixel density was about as low as it could go without people noticing. That's why they picked that number, is because they're like, we don't see people having a problem with it. Unless, of course, you're a tech YouTuber who's looking for content. So you go compare the numbers and go, I'd say it's lower. I know there's a ton of people out there that just know it in their head. Therefore, it's going to look worse for them. They're going to look at the display knowing that it's low res. And then we get a billion people in the comments saying, but it's 720, it's 720. Even though it isn't 720. It annoys the hell out of me. But to me, I hope that Apple doesn't listen to those complaints and says, nope, we're going to show that even in 2019, even going into 2020, you can still release a phone with 326 pixels per inch, and everyone's going to be perfectly fine with it, because as long as they keep that density, it'll probably, the iPhone 11R is going to be the king of battery life all over again. The A13 chip may be more efficient, and they'll probably be able to boost the battery, and we'll get an even more insane battery life. I hope they take it that route, opposed to caving, listening to all the complaints, and saying, okay, we'll put 1080p on it, just so everyone stops whining, and then the battery life isn't as good. Or the battery life's the same as last year's, but the resolution's higher, so you're welcome. Yeah. The one thing I wish they could figure out with LCD, because I know there's a lot of people who have issues with OLED displays. It either hurts their eyes or, like you said, there's color accuracy problems with certain people. I've looked at both extensively, and I've just decided that I'm not, what's it called, a colorphile? I can't see the I can't see the small differences as easily.
A color file. If that's not what it is, that's what that's what it is now. That's what we're dubbing it from now on. A color
that's
file.
That's heard it here first on the Table of Tech podcast.
We'll call that's the name of this tech podcast.
Color file. I love it.
To me, the only noticeable differences in LCD versus OLED is those deeper blacks and the viewing angles. Is when I hold my 10R at those different angles, you start to see the brightness go down and it gets more dim and it's more reflective. And I notice that. I don't notice the color problems. All I notice is that when I watch a YouTube video and it's got black bars, I'm like, oh, you're not hiding the notch very well, are you?
Right. Oh.
I just see it. So with that, my hope is that they could get the LCD bezels thinner, if at all possible. I think it's already kind of incredible that there's all these iPhone clones out there, or there's all these Androids that are trying to look like iPhones, and yet none of them have been able to kind of smoothen out that notch with the side bezels. Right. And make it one bezel all the way around, even though it is thick. And I get that people are like, well, the chin is smaller on the S10, so actually it's like it's not about getting the side bezels as thin as possible and then putting up with a chin. It's about uniformity, which I don't think people understand. Like, the S10 can have a higher screen to body ratio, but that doesn't necessarily make it look better, because it's very unsymmetrical. Is probably the word I'm looking for. You have curved edges on the side, which from my experience, it does distort your content a little bit. And you can set it off on accident, as my father-in-law even complained, and he's a huge Android guy. The chin at the bottom and the look at the top with that camera hole is like everything about it for the user is fairly asymmetrical. Even though the screen to body ratio is higher, it doesn't look as clean. Let's say in the future they figured out a way to get the pixels all the way to the edge. No bezel, okay? Display, it goes right to the aluminum. There's no gap, but then you have a giant black hole in the middle of the display. Yeah. See, that's not better, because it's still... It would be asymmetrical, or it would be
the aesthetics aren't just they're not as pleasing. Like, look at your even when you have OLED, you want to talk about things about being asymmetrical. The Pixel 3, good, oh my god!
Oh, yeah.
Like, how do you screw up your own native app, YouTube? How do you screw up YouTube? It makes me. It made me want to throw your phone, to be honest, because the curves weren't the same curves, and then alignment wasn't the same alignment.
The video was off center when you watched it.
Off center, the corners are different. Curvatures, I guess is the word. I don't know. I was never good in geometry.
The radius was in different points for the curves.
Look at him. Okay, Mr. Math Major. Like that. John Brady,
not even close. But yeah, I know what you mean. Like, everything about that phone is asymmetrical. But
so I think Android is just not good. They're just not. Well, let me rephrase the non Apple, because it's not just Google or Huawei or what. Like, I think just people say they understand what Apple's doing. I just don't think they're really listening. I don't think they understand what it is that Apple's doing, because this is coming from someone who's not an engineer or a designer. Like, I have no grounds to you know, whatever, but I'm a customer, so I do have grounds. This does not seem – I'm holding up the 10R. This does not seem that hard to construct, in the sense that, like, if all these phone manufacturers are doing it, how is it that Apple – figured out how to make it fit into the space, especially at the bottom, and just be, hey, let's be consistent, and so that way you at least give the illusion. Well, it's not really illusion. There is a bezel on, you know, the 10S, 10S Max, but at least it looks clean. They're focused on what can we do to make the phone look appealing. And to me, it's like, why was that not common sense for everybody else? Like, no, curve the side edges. Get rid of all this. Get rid of the top. No notch, but we got this, you know, giant chin. You looks like Jay Leno of phones, and it's just there. And why is it that why is it that Apple can figure out what aesthetically is pleasing and nobody else can't when they all have access to the same information. Like, hey, if we want to make... You know what I mean? Like, it's... This just tells me more and more that that iPhone has been, and for a long time will be, even in a saturated market, ahead, because they just know and they understand what it is that people with aesthetic wants and needs want and need. Like, like, they understand. Like, I know what you want. You don't know that you want this, but you want this. Here, here's an LCD version of the exact same phone, a little bit cheaper, and you'll like it. And the people who want it, get it. I mean, I did, and I am a color file, an audio file. I'm all those things, and, like, understanding all that, I was completely on board with the 10R. I'm still on board with the 10R. And to be quite honest with you, I am in a weird spot where it's like, should I return my 10S right now while I'm still within the warranty period to do that, get a full refund, buy my time, but not for what you're thinking, just to keep kicking, like, keep returning phones every 2 weeks until I can get a product red 10S.
Oh, yeah.
So I want that so, I want it so bad. I do.
I hope it's would
you,
real.
Would you get one, Nick? We know Drew would. I would. Nope. Would you?
No. I'm stuck with my Apple upgrade program. I'll get a new phone.
Oh,
in,
that's right.
And whenever that is. September.
But in Sweeney, wouldn't you even want to, like buy it just to use it and then return it in, like, a week?
I'm not really sold on red. Like, wow. I know, okay, Drew, okay, and you guys both really like...
I'm calling red. Marquez right now.
Yeah, and Marquez too. It looks nice. It looks nice.
You're in trouble.
But I like silver, and I'm still bummed that I got gold. And, like, I was just looking at my Apple Watch while you guys were talking, and I was like, why did I get a gold Apple Watch? And now it matches my phone, but this is all just...
It's new.
It needs to be silver.
It's the new one.
I like it on you, Nick. I think it looks good.
I think it looks okay too, but I don't know. It just seems a little, especially the watch is just a little too flashy. Like,
really? I think it's appropriate for you because you walk around like you. When we went to the Apple Store, you walked in like you owned it.
Well, I do own it, Randy.
You had your little briefcase, and you just had what looked like the Apple version of Rolex, because it looks like, you know, the edition, right? And you're walking around, it's like, hey, by the way, I have an appointment. Bah, 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 boom! You set it down. You pull out your gold iPhone, gold watch. You're like, yeah, I think I can do the 7:30 appointment. Like, you just look like an executive, and I'm like, I want gold.
Well, we can trade. You get a silver stainless steel, and you can have my gold watch. How about that?
No. Yeah. I'm not trading.
I don't know. It's very nice. I want... If I'm ever in the financial position where I can, you know, easily afford two brand new Apple Watches every year, I would definitely get a gold one and a silver one. Just because... Okay, nice. Well, I know that sounds crazy. I'm trying to pare down on my Apple Watch numbers. But right now I have a Series 2 that I use for sleep tracking. I'd gladly get rid of that and use two Series 4s. But, you know, that doesn't make any sense.
So
us plebs,
me and Drew, normal people will switch. We will switch out watch bands, but Nick switches out watches.
Okay, so
I want to get there. So I think we've talked about this.
Yeah.
That's like one of my goals is to be like, oh, I think I'm feeling aluminum today.
Yep. So I wear
flexing my ceramic.
I wear a lot of suits. I wear a couple suits every week. And whenever I do that, I have like these little tie clips and belt buckles and little cufflinks. Ooh. And they're all different colors, right? Gold, silver, black. Those are the three colors I got going. And my watch is always gold. And I'm like, well, if I had a silver watch, I could match my tie clip to be silver. If I had a black Apple Watch, I could match my tie clip and be black. So I think
this is important.
At some point, just for the matching factor alone, I would get maybe two Apple Watches. I don't think I'd get three, but especially just silver and gold.
No, that's where we draw the line.
I mean, well, I already have six. That's the problem, and I think that'll be a conversation for next week. But
they're more of a collection, in my opinion. That's why I think it's okay that you have six. It's not like you didn't buy six Series 4s, unless you're keeping a secret from me. You're just like collecting them, and I'm that way. Like I have a bunch of old phones and iPads and stuff.
It's appropriate for you to collect them, though, even more so with your archive and your catalog and
anyone can collect them. It doesn't have to be me.
But people come to you for a reference, and so I think you're right. Everyone can collect them, but your voice on a subject of something that's a collectible will hold more merit based off of Talosiv as a whole. At least the tech portion of the network, people will be like, you have like an OG Macintosh, you know, like people. That's cool. That's just in any outright. That's cool. Whether it's worth $20 or, you know, $2,000, it's cool to have, and it's appropriate that it goes with you instead of you having, you know, an original prototype Samsung Galaxy S3. Nobody cares about that. But if you have some like OG, some like pre-ancient, even before I was, but like something from the 80s, that's I'd rather. That's why Nick gives you some things, because it's like it rather goes with you where it should be, in some type of archive, some almost like a museum, and it serves a better purpose to be in your, even if it's just sitting in a box getting more scuffs, who cares? It's better there than it just staying with us normies. We're just normies, and
You guys are members. You guys are part of Talosiv, so why can't we all accumulate together? You know,
because I don't have
the cool blue museum background. I'm gonna paint my wall blue, and I'll get back to you. That's what I'm gonna do. I changed my mind. I'm gonna paint my wall blue. You got to give me your ink blot. Like what color you're using? Yeah. You went to Kohl's or IKEA or whatever. And
I think we have leftover paint. You should just take it.
Okay. When we come up next month, we'll do it.
Bring
paint back on the airplane. I'm sure that'll go over well. Mm-hmm. Why is your suitcase so heavy, sir? Hey, not just 6 gallons of paint.
It's okay. The TSA ain't going to be working. The government's going to be shut down. Don't worry. We're fine.
They're going to have to open it. They open the paint.
They have to bring fingers in.
Who would buy blue paint?
This is paint.
Oh my god!
You gotta make sure your iPad's an iPad, and they hit it with a hammer. Yep,
cool.
That's technology, all right. All right, guys, do you have any more closing thoughts?
I don't think so.
I'm good.
Okay, well, thank you all for listening, and we will catch you all in the next one. Take care. Bye bye.
Bye bye.